Let us turn again to the chapter of God's word that we read together, to the book of Genesis, chapter 15, and let us consider verse 1, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. Genesis, chapter 15, at verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield, and thy exceeding great reward." After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield, and thy exceeding great reward." The Lord had delivered Abram from those that he felt obliged to do battle with when Lot, his nephew, had been captured and taken away, and he took his servants, armed them, and led them to battles to set Lot free, and he succeeded in that. And after these things, the Lord appeared to him in a vision. We're not to expect visions nowadays. After all, when Abram was alive, there was no Bible, no part of it had been written then, and the Lord at that time was making himself known in various such ways, in dreams and in visions, at least. So the Lord appeared to Abram in this vision, and what he said to him was, "Fear not." Speaks to him by name. He tells him not to be afraid and assures him that he is his shield. He will protect him, in other words. That's what a shield is for. And if God is speaking of being a shield, he is speaking of protecting Abram or whoever it might be. Now, there's more than that. Not only a shield, but a very great reward. And clearly, anything of that nature, any reward that the Lord will give to anyone, there is grace in that. It's not what we desire. Even if the Lord recognizes, for instance, the faith of Abram, then we must go back a little and notice that it is God who made him able to exercise faith. He made him able to believe. And if the Lord is to reward Abram, it's in the way of his own kindness, not what Abram deserved. If Abram was left to himself, there would be no possibility of a reward. But there was a reward, and that was in relation to what God had done in Abram, in giving him grace to believe and grace to be faithful. He wasn't sinless, of course. That will never be in this world. But he was seeking to be faithful to God, and he was seeking to do God's will. And so the Lord is saying to others, the Lord is saying to all those who are trusting in him, as he said to Abram so long ago, He is saying, "Fear not, whoever. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And we should be asking that the Lord would give us that faith that he gave Abram. There will be particular reasons for individuals to exercise faith rather than others. There's some that will have to exercise faith for particular reasons. Others will have their own reasons. But of course, there's the common need we all have in this world, and that is a need to be born again, a need to have our sins forgiven, a need to be prepared for eternity, a need to be made fit for heaven. But beyond that, there are particular situations in which we need grace, grace to exercise faith, that in particular. But in this promise is to all God's children, to all who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who came into the world to save sinners. He is saying, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And accordingly, he is saying further, fear not. Do not be afraid. And why should we be afraid? Afraid we may well be. Afraid of what will happen. Afraid of how we will cope with a particular situation. But what we need is that we would be looking to the Lord and trusting in him. And then he can enable us not to be afraid of what the future will bring. We will try, first of all, seeking the Lord's help, to notice the first part of the promise, I am thy shield. God protected Abram. God was promising to protect Abram. The second thing is that he would be a very great reward. He would very much reward Abram for his faithfulness, for his faith, and everything else he did in dependence on divine grace. And then the call that we have here, fear not. First then, God is a shield. Second, God is a very great reward. And third, the call not to fear. First then, God says to Abram, I am thy shield. I will protect whatever difficulties Abram would experience, whatever opposition he would meet, whatever it might appear to be too much for him, and everything you could pretty well say, perhaps without qualification, everything it would be too much for Abram apart from God's grace. And that is one lesson we need to learn as we go through this world, that everything will be too much for us apart from God. And so we need to learn this, how much we do need God, how much we need that he would go with us, that he would go before us, that he would be working in our hearts. There's not only what we might call the ordinary difficulties in this world. There's the great matter of eternity before us. And where will we be? Let us ask ourselves, where will we be when we die? And where can we be unless we have Christ? Where can we be if we are not trusting in Christ as the one who came into the world to save sinners? That's the greatest thing as far as our lives in the world is concerned. This great, serious, solemn matter of being prepared for eternity so that we would go to heaven rather than being sent down to hell. And how and what will make the difference? Well, what made the difference as far as Abram was concerned It was this, that he was looking on. He had that blessed hope of the Savior coming. This Christ himself said, Abram saw my day afar off. He saw it and was glad. Abram was trusting in Christ as the one who had been promised to him. And accordingly, God was promising to him that he would protect him. I am thy shield, he would say. And that's what the Lord is saying to everyone who has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever kind of life they will have, as far as outward things are concerned, and as far as worries and fears are concerned, they will be brought through. The Lord has said to every one of them, whether they quite heard it or not, whether they were willing, ready to listen to that, the Lord was saying, fear not, I am thy shield. Once they entered into the kingdom of God, once they had looked to Christ Jesus as the one who was able to bless them, to supply all their needs. Once they had first trusted in Christ, then the Lord was saying this to them, as I said, whether they were quite hearing him say it or not, whether they could quite receive it as for them or not, he was saying, I am thy shield. In other words, I will protect thee. Yes, there's the promise. To everyone who has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact that that is so, and that the opposite is true also, that we are all always open to danger, and very serious danger, and especially the danger of sinning. But if we do not have Christ, if we have never looked to him, then how desperate our position is, that we could sin in such a way, and in particular in neglecting the word of God and refusing to be obedient to what God is saying, that we would then be just left to ourselves to go on and on towards a lost eternity. Now, in connection with that promise to defend him, the Lord was saying much more to him. He was making a promise to Abram of many things, in particular that Abram would have a seed. And Abram was very much tried in connection with God's promise. The promise was that in him, in Abram, all the families of the earth would be blessed. That he would have descendants. But particularly, there was the special descendant of Abram, who would be the Savior, who would be the Savior of sinners. How could Abram escape the wrath to come? How could Abram be brought to heaven? What could he do to achieve his salvation? And if he was left to himself, if there was no one to take his place and suffer the punishment that he deserved, the answer was absolutely nothing. And that is the same for you and for me. If we do not find a Savior, where will we be? What will be the outcome of our life? We're sinners. We have transgressed God's law. We need it to be put right. We need, perhaps most obviously, our sin to be forgiven. We need to be made fit for heaven. We need a Savior. Where can we find a Savior? Where could Abram find a Savior? Let him go on pilgrimage. He had come. He had the Lord's bidding to Canaan. He didn't find a Savior there. Let him go as far as his weary legs might carry him throughout the world. Let him walk for hundreds of miles. Where would he find a Savior? No, there was no Savior that he could find. I mean, physically. But you see, the Lord was revealing a Savior to him. The Lord was revealing a Savior. And there was a Savior revealed to Abram in connection with that promise. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. What blessing could there be for Abram and for others? Where could a blessing be found? How could there be a blessing? In view of sin, in view of Abram being a sinner, in view of whoever else it might be, in view of them being sinners, where could they find one to save them from the wrath to come, who could defend them from eternal punishment? What's the answer? Abram, by faith, was looking on into the future. In the light of that promise, you see. In the light of the promise. In the light of God's revelation. When he was told to leave Ur, his native city. But he was to leave that place of idolatry. But you see, here was the encouragement. Here was the revelation of a Savior. In thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Not that Abram could be a Savior for himself or for anyone. But, you see, there was to be a descendant. And that was to be fulfilled in the distant future. When the Son of God was to become man. That he might be a substitute for sinners, that he might give his life a ransom for many, that he might suffer instead. Yes, and it all follows on from that. There was the promise for whoever will hear that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what the Lord is saying to sinners. He's saying it to ourselves. Are you looking for a Savior? Are you feeling that you would go on pilgrimage anywhere if you could find a Savior, if there was someone you could find whom you could go up to and ask, what can you do for me, a sinner? What can you do to deliver me from eternal destruction? What can you do for me so that I might get to heaven at last? What can you do for me so that I might be defended from all harm and danger, especially for my soul? You do not need to take one step in any direction. Whosoever believeth in him, this Savior, the one who came into the world and suffered, the one who is exalted, a Prince and a Savior, to give repentance and forgiveness of sin. Or perhaps you're wishing that you could do something or bring something that would earn you salvation. No. No is the answer to all that. No is the answer that comes from heaven to all our foolish thinking. But the no is not a no to saving sinners. Whosoever will believe in Christ, he will be delivered from the wrath to come. Whosoever will believe in Christ, he will have God as a very great reward, as well as being a defense. Yes. And Peter warns about the devil. He writes in his first epistle, in chapter 5. Your adversary, the devil, it goeth about, it's seeking whom he may devour. The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. What do we need when the devil is going about? What do we need when the devil would be ready and is ready to attack us, to bring us down into sin. Whatever sin we may be guilty of already, he would take us further. He would bring us step after step, or else bring us crashing down. Anything that would bring us nearer to a lost eternity, anything that would make us more secure in his kingdom, he is ready to do. What hope have we against the devil? Oh yes, the devil is a reality. If we find something in the Word of God, we are to think of it as true, as accurate. And this is accurate, that there is a devil, and many a devil. But the Bible speaks particularly about the chief devil, Satan himself, as an adversary, as a deceiver. Yes, how deceived people are when they will not believe the Bible, when they will not hear, when they will not believe God speaking in the Bible. Well, the Lord is speaking to us. He is warning us. And we need a shield. Where will we find a shield? Yes, I am thy shield. So let us go to him. Let us ask that he would protect us, that he would defend us, that he would supply all our needs. You see how serious our position is if we'd only see it. We're exposed to our own fallen nature. We're exposed to the devil and his temptations, and we'll believe them. Eve, though she was without sin, she believed the devil. That was her undoing. It was Adam's undoing too. He fell into sin also. How did that happen? Well, all we'll say is, and there's very little we can say in answer to that question, but we'll say this, Satan was stronger than they were. Satan was stronger. But let us remember that Christ is stronger still. Let us remember that Christ is stronger, altogether stronger. And how much we should be asking the Lord to be our shield, to defend us, so that we would not go, so that we would not listen to what Satan is saying, so that we would resist the devil. If the Lord would put that defense about us, if the Lord would say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Now, the Savior spoke to Peter in that way, but he was seeing Satan working through Peter. And how much we should be bearing this in mind, our need of this defender to protect us. We're vulnerable. That should be obvious. How easily we can be brought into sin, and it, on particular occasions, it may be as we might measure it, and there are differences in the seriousness of various sins. We might think it was only a little sin, but Little sins lead on to big sins, and little sins are sins against a great God. We need to be protected from little sins and from great sins. We need to be protected from those that are powerful. We might feel weak, and at times that is good. If we feel our own weakness and plead with God to protect us, it's good that we should feel weak and recognize that God is all-powerful, that nothing is too hard for it. It's good to recognize that, but there's this, that we would be looking for strength from the one who is a shield for poor, weak individuals in this world. That's what we need. And you see, for those who have come to Christ, for those who are believing in him, it's a promise. And may the people of God that are listening to this evening, may they be saying, O Lord, thou hast promised. It wasn't only to Abraham, but the Lord is speaking to all his Abrams. You see, Abram is spoken of as the father of the faithful. All that believe are the children of Abram, to turn it round the other way. In other words, they have that same fundamental character as Abram had. They trust. Oh, they need to trust more firmly. That is true. They shouldn't be content with their own weakness, but they should be going to the Lord again and again. They should be asking him to be their shield, to protect them from all these dangers that are about them. Oh, Lord, be thou my shield. Let us all be saying that this evening. But there's this, those who have believed, they have this as a promise. I am thy shield. Now we were singing in Psalm 91, and there are many promises there. We have to be careful how we apply them to ourselves. In some ways, we can take them as what the Lord may or not be pleased to do, as when it speaks about the arrow in battle, the arrow that flieth by day, or the pestilence that walketh in darkness, that's not an absolute promise, taking it as it stands, taking it literally. It's not an absolute promise for anyone, unless the Lord may be pleased to impress that on their souls. But still, the Lord may do that. But when we take it with a spiritual application, then the Lord protects. He may do it in one way or another. He may do it. He may fulfill it over a long period of time. The pestilence of sin, the disease of sin, the temptations to sin. I will be thy shield from these temptations, that distraction, that particular arrow of temptation. Oh, let us commit ourselves to the Lord when we do not know what temptations or bad use we might make of our circumstances, what unbelieving use we might make of our circumstances. But let us go to the Lord. Let us say to him, thou hast said, thou hast spoken of these things. May I be protected from temptation. May I be protected in temptation. May I be kept from sliding away from thee. And you can enlarge on these thoughts indefinitely. But you see, lay hold of this, believer. Lay hold of this, that the Lord is saying to you, I am thy shield, I will protect thee. We're to be committing ourselves to him. That's what he would have us do. If he has spoken, then there's to be a corresponding action on our part, a response of faith. If the Lord is speaking, if the Lord is promising, then there's to be faith on our part in receiving the particular promises, the more general promises that he is speaking to us. Yes. And take again what you have in Psalm 142, and the heading of the psalm tells us that it was a psalm, a prayer that David wrote when he was in the cave, when Saul was pursuing David with no good intentions. But he says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. Why did David do so? Had he got the promise to Abram in his mind? And was he, as he had every right to do, taking that to himself? I will be thy shield. He says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. That was true. But, you see, he had to look beyond that. He had to look to the one who was saying, I am thy shield. He said, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge. Thou art my place of safety in the land of the living. There's David. And many a David since then. And many an Abram since then. Many a child of God, in other words. Many who has the characteristic that Abraham had as the father of the faithful, as the father of believers. The one whose most prominent characteristic was to trust in the Lord. What's your own most prominent characteristic? Well, I'm not going to explore that to any extent, but is it this, your faith? A faith given by God himself. Well, you might not be a very good judge of that, but if God looks into you and sees that you are believing in him, then he will say, that's what's characteristic of that person. Whatever other characteristics there may be, he's believing, she is believing. Yes, and he will say, in one way or another, it's there in the word of God for you to search out and apply to yourself, I am thy shield. Now, let us go on to the second part of the promise. I am thy exceeding great reward. I am thy very great reward. Not just a little reward. That would be wonderful. That would be reason to be thankful. The first little indication a person might have that God was blessing him or her. And it might just be a very small token of blessing, a very small thing, so to speak, that the Lord was hearing that person's prayer. But how significant. And we can go on to the very end, till according to the Saviour's parable, when those who were given talents, and there were three of them. Two of them went and traded with their talents, and they came back with the profits that they had made. They had been faithful in using the talents, using that in a metaphorical way to describe the gifts, the abilities, the capacities that they had, and particularly pointing to this, using these gifts that God had given them, using these in the kingdom of grace, making use of what they had, making use of what God had given them, living by faith, going on in connection with the promises of the Word of God, and the, living in the fear of God, living according to the commands of God. Yes, I will be thine exceeding great reward. And see how when these two men came back and handed over or showed their spoils, showed their profits anyway, and these two of the three, these two were told, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Yes, what a reward, what an exceeding great reward for Abram when he came to the end of his journey in this world. After these 175 years of life, the majority of them lived in the fear of God, seeking to serve God, seeking to do what is wrong, with various failures, admittedly. But still, what a welcome to Abram when he entered into glory. Thou hast been faithful in a few things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. What an exceeding great reward. Or Isaac, or Jacob, or Moses, or Aaron, or Miriam, any of these, any of the children of God today, they may not have been outstanding in any way. But they were faithful in a little. They were faithful in a few things. They were believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. They were taking God seriously when he was speaking. They were receiving the promises, not with the degree of faith that they ought to have had. But they were looking into Jesus. They had no other hope. They were asking, as Peter did long ago, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." And they got home. They entered into heaven, just as Peter himself did. And they were welcomed. "Well done, good and faithful servant." It's not speaking there about whether they were exceptionally faithful, whether they were much less so, but the fundamental thing is that as those who had been faithful in a few things, they were giving glory to God, they were valuing his promises in some degree, and all their sin has been forgiven, and they have been now made perfectly holy, and they are brought into heaven to receive this very great reward. Yes, people in our own time who have been taken away from us, there'll be a variation. People that we have read of in church history, some were leaders and others Perhaps we've read about them too to some extent. People who had no prominent place, but they were faithful in a few things. They were, if nothing else, if that is right to say in that way, epistles, living epistles, known and read of all men, that they were with Jesus. They may have had very little to say, but their life, it was bearing testimony to a desire to live to God's glory. And let them be taken away from this world, and there can be no doubt about where they will go. And there can be no doubt about this, that they will be welcomed into glory with these words, "Well done, a good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Now, we must emphasize this, which I mentioned already, but it needs to be emphasized that this reward is not a debt that God owes to anyone. It was no debt as far as Abram was concerned. It was no debt as far as David or Peter or Mary Magdalene or anyone else was concerned. It was no debt that they should get the reward of heaven. It was all for the sake of Christ. It's grace. It's the kindness of God to those who are undeserving. And when the children of God who are here, when that time will come, when they must be brought to eternal glory, the Savior, God Himself, is not indebted to them. It's not a debt. It's not something they earned that it will mean that they will be rewarded forever with the blessedness of heaven. It's all of grace. It's according to His promise. That is true. It's all of grace. Yes. And the Lord is saying to us that if we believe, eternal life will be ours. To quote the words again, "God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It's in God's love that these things came about. It's not anything that we can demand. It's according to grace. It's according to grace. Yes. But you see, the Lord has committed Himself. The Lord has made this promise. It's according to the covenant that God made with Abram. It's according to the covenant that God makes with all that He draws to Himself, a covenant which will be fulfilled for the sake of Christ. That's what David was leaning on when he was getting near the end of his life here. He was saying, "Although my house be not so with God, although my family is not what it should be," as he had outlined in previous verses, he says, "Although that is so, yet He, the Lord, hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure, so the reward is sure. It's all my salvation," said David, with an outflowing of faith given by God Himself. And there was grace being poured into his soul when he spoke in that way. His mind was made active. His desires were being enlarged. He was enabled by faith to lay hold of what the Lord had promised, that all would be well with him. Even with these, with that solemn matter of death right before him. Yes. And whatever death will come our way, we will be safe if we are trusting in Christ. Yes, but let us not think of this as merely applying to the end of our time here and passing into eternity, that the Lord will be a reward to his people in this world. They exercise faith, that will have its reward. They trust in him in connection with a particular situation, that will have its reward. Whatever it is that they do in the service of their master, that will have its reward. Many a thing, it will not be clear until they pass into heaven. Many a blessing may go unrecognized until they pass into heaven. But you see, these blessings that were rewards for some small degree of faithfulness, yes, they to some extent will have the reward in this life from the one who has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And certainly the fact that they persevered, oh, that was by God's grace. Many a time they would have fallen and fallen into serious sin and given up the faith if it wasn't for the grace of God, if it wasn't for the continuing working of the Holy Spirit in their hearts, except for this, the continuing work of the Holy Spirit and the exercise of grace, the exercise of faith, the exercise of love, every instance of a godly response to a situation, a godly response to a temptation, every instance of that, it will be brought together in the kindness of God when they enter into the fullness of the reward in heaven. Yes, but it's all of grace. It's not anything that they have earned. It's God's kindness. It's God's kindness to them. That's what we have. God in his kindness to sinners. Yes, and how much need there is to be casting themselves upon the goodness of God in this world. You have the reward that Abram had, for instance. Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, verse 5, if thou be able to number him. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Yes, there would be many, but the most significant thing there is the fact, as I mentioned already, that Christ was to come from among his descendants. The great promise renewed to Isaac and renewed to Jacob, in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. There shall a Savior revealed to him there. And Abram saw Christ's day. He saw it afar off and he was glad. He worshipped. There was a further exercise of faith, you can be sure, and it is generally assumed, generally understood, that the day mentioned of the time when Abram particularly saw the day of Christ afar off, it was after he had to offer Isaac as a sacrifice of God to God, though he was stopped in that. He didn't need to go further. He had proved that he was one of the children of God, that he was indeed trusting in the Lord and obedient to him. He fully believed that Isaac would be restored to him, not in the way that he expected. Yes, but then he found the ram caught in a thicket, caught in a bush, and he offered that ram as a sacrifice instead of his son. And it would seem that Abram then got a view by faith of Christ as the substitute for people like himself and people like Isaac. The ram was a substitute for Isaac. He offered the ram instead of his son. He, by God's grace, enlightening his mind in the knowledge of Christ over again, he saw Christ afar off. It was by faith he did so, and he is experiencing the reward of that in heaven. Whatever you see of grace in Abram's life, it is, you can apply this to it, that the Lord is saying in connection with each of these things, I am thy exceeding great reward. Therefore the Lord says to Abram, and that's our third point, fear not, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. How easy to be afraid. And there are some that have every reason to be afraid. Yes, for the Lord says, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. No peace to the wicked. So they have reason to be afraid of that. They have reason to flee to the Lord, to cover them, to protect them, to be a shield to them. And that if they get grace to believe in Christ, and surely if they ask, they will get that grace. Ask and you shall receive, said the Savior. And if they ask, then the promise will be made to them. I will be thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. So do not be afraid if you have looked to Christ. Oh, I know it's very easy to say that. I know that the fears even of the Lord's people are real. What's the answer to these fears? Well, let us say just now that the answer to these fears is to go to the promise. I will be thy shield. Oh, but they may say, the difficulty is that I cannot recognize if I'm one of God's children or not. Do I have that promise? Do I have a right to that promise? Or am I taking to myself what I have no right to take? Well, one answer to that question is, go again to Christ. Go again to Christ. He is still calling you. Your doubts, your questions, your unbelief, it's all causing you a fear. But he is saying to you, if you are a child of God, if you have, however weakly, rested your guilty soul upon Christ as the one who came into the world to save sinners, he is saying to you, do not fear. Do not be afraid. And come again. If you have come at all to Christ, then come again. Look again and again. That's what he is saying. We need to be coming again and again to Christ. To come even in basically the same way as we came the first time, if that is true of us. To receive the truth that there is in the Word of God about Christ. To look to him as he is revealed in the Word of God. Abram was shown a sacrifice to be offered instead of Isaac. We are to look at Christ as one who is offered instead of sinners. And we are to look, we are to believe, in other words. And if we are believing, we're not to be afraid, whatever it might be giving us some cause for fear. Whatever we might be taking as a reason for fear, let us take another look to Christ. As it has been said, for every look we are to take at ourselves, and there's something of a necessity of looking at what we are in ourselves, one way or another. But we're not to look at ourselves for salvation. But for every look we take to ourselves, we are to take 100 looks to Christ. That's to be the main activity that we should seek to be engaged in this world, to be looking unto Jesus. And whatever difficulties we might experience, let us note what we have in Psalm 93, when the psalmist speaks of the floods having lifted up their voice and the waves doing likewise, that the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. And what a noise the waters of the ocean can have. You'll not hear that noise in Inverness. If you go to some area that is open to the Atlantic, for instance, what a noise there can be that you can hear a considerable distance away from the sea. You may not be able to see the sea from where you are, but you can still hear the noise. Well, however much noise in our souls, whatever difficulties we might feel, still let us remember that the Lord on high is more, is mightier than the noise of many waters. We're to go to him, the one who said to Abram, and is saying to all his people, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Fear not, Abram. Fear not, because the Lord that is on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. And you see the response of Isaiah in chapter 12 of his prophecy. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Yes. He had looked again to the provision that God had made. And he says that the Lord was the one that gave him strength. And he was feeling a little of that strength. The source of it was not from himself. It was from God. So he would trust. He would go on trusting. He would trust again and again. And where would his deliverance come from? His continuing need for deliverance, his continuing need for salvation. Where would it all come from? The Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. There's no other hope for us. And he is a source of salvation for yourself, to go back to again and again, who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who have looked to him, it may be over many years, or it may be just for a few days. Keep going to him, keep looking to him, keep trusting in him, keep in mind what the Word of God is saying about Christ as the one who can defend you and who will reward you if you are trusting in him. And if you have never yet trusted in Christ, you still have the opportunity. You have not been taken away from the world yet, because God is merciful to you to that extent at least. He is speaking to you. He is still giving you an opportunity of going to Christ. Hear the Savior saying to you. Hear him saying to you, as the one who died in the place of sinners like you, he is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. May he bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord, all thou doest. Thou knowest our needs, thou knowest our weakness, thou knowest our concerns. May we bring them all before them and cast them upon thee. May we be receiving truth from thy word that is relevant to ourselves. And there's plenty. But, oh Lord, if thou wouldst even speak to us in a little way this evening and give us some grace to receive thy word, to rest upon it, for time and for eternity, for what may be particularly concerning us at this time. Oh, bless us in that, and grant to bless us by way of preparing us for eternity, and that thy children might grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Be pleased to supply all our needs and to supply all the needs of thy cause. Send out those who would preach the gospel. Grant to bless all who have been sent out already. Grant to be working graciously and powerfully. Wash away our sin. Do us good thyself. Receive us graciously and love us freely. Bless what has been done among us here this day. Follow it with thy blessing. And remember everything that was done in thy name throughout this world and what will yet be done. Oh, gather sinners to thyself in multitudes. Bring down Satan's kingdom. Deliver those who are led captive by him at his will. Make us thankful for thy goodness. Wash away our sin. Bless us through what remains of this day. And bless us through what remains of our lives in this world. For Jesus' sake, amen.